broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Bruston Northman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Northman.
Well, well, well. Packers versus Bears in the NFL playoffs.
Man, we got a squad.
The last thing they want to see is us coming down to Soldier's Field.
I've been arguing with Mark Pauscher, who keeps telling me, we've got a better roster than you.
No, you don't.
For the first time in a long time. This is going to be a real rivalry.
I feel extremely good about the performance they're going to put on the field on Saturday.
Don't tell me the Packers are good.
I don't know if anybody's good. That's the thing. Door's wide open because nobody's actually good.
Bears ball, they recovered an onside kick. The fourth quarter magic is somehow continuing here in Chicago.
To be quite frank with you, I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
Don't you ever speak about Matt LaFleur like that.
My viewpoint of the Bears is you better beat the Packers because of the caller.
You know what the rivalry's all about. You know, you got the two top teams in the NFC North going against each other. It's a great rivalry.
I don't think there's a switch to be flipped. I think it just works.
Now is our time to reset and reestablish our identity as a defense.
They need to handle their business.
And it's blocked! Oh my goodness, the Packers block it, and they're going to win!
Going deep, searching for DJ Moore over the shoulder. Catch,
yeah.
Touchdown Bears!
Brilliant. Looking, throwing.
Just moving the ball up and down the field against that Bears defense.
No, I mean, what defense?
I don't care, you played better for most of the game. You know what you did? You lost.
You don't want to give Chicago extra possessions in the playoffs on the road.
You can't let the little brother beat you.
I think they would rather play almost anybody else but us.
The past 2 years, we've kind of been stacking the thing and kept getting better and better. This would be a great game.
We are not going to be done.
A great day to be alive on this Friday. Kyle Bruston Northman across ESPN Wisconsin. My name is Ben Brust. Alongside me repping his Packers gear is Kyle Wallace. Quickly, Kyle.
Boy, I'll tell you this right now. What a great job by Jesse. But at the end here, and Jeff Hafley is, I will see you guys next week. Let's go! Excited, baby.
Reliving his glory days wearing some Jaguars gear. Super Bowl 50 runner-up with the Panthers. Wisconsin Badger, longtime NFL punter, Bradley Northman.
All week, we've been talking. This is the first day where I woke up where I can feel it. I can feel the playoff atmosphere creeping up. I can't wait for tomorrow night. And for tomorrow afternoon and Sunday afternoon.
800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text line. And if you want to talk your bleep, it's open for you. If you want to talk your stuff, 800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text line. We're on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. And of course, you can download, listen live anywhere, listen back. Everything is there on the ESPN Wisconsin app. It can be right there in the palm of your hand. We are getting closer and closer and closer. By the end of our show, we'll be about 26 hours away from the 7 p.m. kick, the rubber match in the playoffs, Packers-Bears. We've talked about this matchup and the Packers and Bears for about 3 weeks out of the last 7 weeks. And it's a big one. The wait, as I've said, continues to get bigger and bigger as this game gets closer. But it is Friday, so we have to. And, you know, I have made fun of this as in the regular season, everyone says it's a must-win game. Well, we've
kind
reached
of a must-win
game territory here. Name the game.
Is it a must win?
This is their moment, and I think they have to get it done.
A season definer?
I step up, I elevate other people's games.
A legacy game that will be talked about for decades?
That's the thing I think that's going to carry them as far as they're going to go.
Or just weak whatever. This is Name the Game on KBN.
It's not week whatever. We know it is a wild card matchup, but we'll start with Brad Nortman. We'll go to Kyle Wallace. We'll go to me, and we'll see if Strofa has any. Let's name the game, and you can name the game as well at 800-990-3776.
Let's go ahead and name the game, boys. So as usual, three options. Going to end with my one that I'm going to land on for this game. The first one that I have, the Welcome to January game. The Bears, have been a long time since they've played in January, in the playoffs, that is. They're acting like they haven't been there before. Packers, calm, cool, and collected. It's just like, hey, Bears, it's been a while. Welcome to January.
Too Bears-centric.
That's number one.
Don't like it.
Number two, the whole damn game. The whole thing with game number two was, 58 minutes of winning, but you gotta play 60-minute games. That's all the Bears fans said, right? Oh, it's too bad games are played for 60 minutes. You want 60 minutes? We'll give you 60 minutes. The whole damn game.
That would have been a good name.
And finally.
You want 60 minutes? We'll give you 60
You want
minutes
60?
Game.
We'll give you all our 60. This is what I'm going to go with. The costume day is over game. That's right. Oh. Take those cheese graters. You look like a bunch of fools. Costume day is over. Fun out the window. It's all business on Saturday night. Costume day is over game.
Good. What do you got?
I hate the cheese grater so much. I had to do something with that. It's the best I could come up with.
Yeah, first game. Well, first one I got is the welcome back game, because it's welcome back for the Green Bay Packers to the playoffs, but welcome back being healthy again for the Packers, and welcome back Jordan Love. So Jordan Love is going to do his thing on Saturday night. That's the first one. The next one is this. The real king of the North. This game will determine who the real king of the North is, because yes, did the Bears win the NFC North title during the regular season? Yes, they did. But it means nothing. It is all for naught if they do not beat the Green Bay Packers. This is the ultimate grudge match between these two evenly matched teams. Guys are getting their pieces back, and the winner of this game will be the true winner of the NFC North, especially heading into next season. This will be the top team to beat in the NFC North based off who wins the game. So this will be the real king of the NFC North game. And the one I'm going to go with, I told you so game. This is going to be I told you so, because I'm going to tell y'all this right now. I told y'all when the Packers got healthy, they were going to be a formidable opponent and they were going to take care of business. I told y'all when Jordan Love got ready and he got healthy, he was one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and he's going to prove it to them on Saturday. I told y'all that Matt LaFleur is an experienced coach and is a coach that we should not get rid of, and it's going to show y'all on Saturday how great he is. I told y'all that playing with fire eventually gets you burnt. And Bradley Nortman, have the Bears been playing with fire
all year long?
And they ass finna get burnt on Saturday, because that damn fire is gonna get they ass on Saturday. I told y'all that the Green Bay Packers were the better overall team. And so this will be the I told you so game, because come Saturday night, that's what everybody in Packers Nation is going to be saying. We're going to be celebrating and kicking our feet up, looking forward to Seattle saying, we tried to tell y'all, y'all was fraudulent, y'all wasn't real, and the Green Bay Packers is going to be moving on to Seattle come Saturday night.
Erica, the Bears fan in the YouTube chat, is saying, this is hilarious. It won't be hilarious when it comes true. As this is Kyle Brusted Nortman across ESPN Wisconsin, we're naming the game as we always do before any game. Brad, what was yours final submission?
The whole damn game.
The whole?
Well, that was my second one. Costume day is over is what I'm going with.
Okay, that's what
costume day is over.
Can we go with like a costumes are done game? Or
dress
like
up, hey,
the cheese grater game. Hey,
dress up day is over.
Playtime
is over. That's what it should have been. Playtime
is over.
Playtime is over.
I'm gonna stick with costume day.
It's a little word.
Costume day
is over.
Is over.
It's kind of like it's because they are acting childish, and that's what you do in like elementary school.
Well, dress up day.
Okay, I just needed the final submissions.
Costume day is over.
Can we admit that's a bad phrase?
But it's his.
I'm trying to help the boy out.
I know, but he's sticking by it, so there's nothing. Yeah.
Play date is over.
You can have that one as part of yours.
You don't wear costumes to play dates.
What?
Not really.
You
no.
do?
Kyle doesn't.
Kids, where Kyle literally see kids dress up.
That's fine, play but play date is like you get together like, so they can play.
Yeah, like you go over someone's house and you play basketball.
The Halloween game, they've been dressed up as contenders.
Just let them stick
year.
With costume.
The costume day is over. Game.
No, Halloween is over.
I'm trying to help Brad out.
I'm going to bring one damn back. I'm going to bring one back for my name the game here, specifically for one person. Win or your ass is grass game.
Nice.
Yeah.
The ghost of 2010 game.
Ooh.
The great expectations game. G-R-A-T-E.
Greater.
Oh, wow. Look at you being creative.
Benson's bag.
Great them or get graded.
Oh,
that
wow.
is my final submission.
Wow. Great them or get graded.
Wow.
I like that.
G-R-A-T-E. Yeah.
I like that.
Wow.
Very use it against them, Ben.
Very punny today.
Yes, a full lot of puns.
Listen, I don't know why y'all full of puns. Ain't no damn games happening. It's a serious matter tomorrow.
I'm Team Kyle here. Can I give my submission?
Yeah, go
please,
right ahead,
please.
It's a must-win game.
Hey! That's a great fourth option.
That is
on the
a good one. That's really good.
That will be the winner.
If there's ever a time to use it, now's the time.
Great them or get graded game. I told you so game. Costume day is over game and a must-win game. That is on Twitter at KBNESPN. And I am fascinated by this. I opened up the show for Name the Game, and I have three Bears fans that want to chime in.
Come on, bring that ass.
Of that.
Bring that ass, Bears fans. I want to hear from y'all. I want to know why y'all believe that y'all have a chance on Saturday.
Let them name it. Let them name it.
I want to hear it. Let me know why y'all confident.
All right. Let's go to Josh Kenosha on the Carbless Talking Text Line. Name that game, Joshy.
This is the send your ass to Cancun game.
Oh!
Who's sending whose ass, though?
No, why y'all confident?
All right?
Okay. All right. Honestly, all right. Either one, but as a Bears fan, he wasn't like, we're going to send your ass to Cancun.
If you know anything about that. Josh.
Love my guy Randy in a dump truck, though, even though he's a Bears fan, and I'm fascinated with our guy Randy on the Carbless Talking Text Line.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What up, Randy?
Hey, Randy.
Hey, guys. I think it only took the Bears 2 minutes to beat the Packers last game, wasn't it? Something like that, 2-3 minutes?
Yeah.
What can I say? The Bears don't have to play a 60-minute game. 2 minutes to beat the Packers, that's all it takes.
All right, well, although I agree it was very strange, we will be kind of doing what Randy said later in the show. We ran 200,000, how'd you say it, Strofe?
200,000 simulations!
Of the Monte Carlos of the Packers-Bears.
Is that the one thing he does that we all wish we could? 200,000!
He sings Hound Dog pretty well, too.
The way he
does it. You ain't nothing but a hound dog! Crying all the time! You ain't nothing but a hound dog!
New.
Crying all the time! Do. You ain't never gonna end it! Friend of mine.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I wish I could do that.
Now we have the Bears ain't beating us twice a year game. Like, for all those losers that count the January game in 2025, they did. Time for Cap to pay up game. Well,
hey, the offer is on the table, Cap. We even got the director of content for Good Karma Brands in, and I said, listen, if he jumps into Lake Michigan, the deal's on.
Because he owed
is there a time limit on that jump?
He's supposed to be jumping in now.
No. So it has to be done before the game?
I would appreciate that, but hell, if he wants to wait till after, but you know how Cap is.
More Mr. Talk, nice no Guy action. Game for Matt LaFleur from Tim, the true king of the North game, Mike in the 608.
I like that, Mike, but really quickly, the no more Mr. Nice Guy. I have this inkling and feeling that Matt LaFleur's mentality in this game on Saturday is going to mirror more what we saw against the Detroit Lions, where he was a little bit of a gambler and embedded a lot of confidence in the guys. We all can't believe he went for it on fourth down from like his own 50 in that game to put it away. And so I think that is the mentality that we're going to see. We're going to see the Packers let it rip, Jordan Love let it rip, Matt LaFleur let it rip. I think they are going to absolutely, dare I say,
putting belt the ass.
We have Bill in the 262. Get ready for hibernation game.
Ooh, that's good. That's really good.
Nap time.
Night night.
Night night time.
Night night. Nap time. It's time. Steph Curry's night night.
Night night. Put in a bed.
Ricardo in Canada. Oh, Canada. You're on the Carbless Talking Text Line.
Boys, one more day until the Pac reigns supreme once again. This is the Jordan Love MVP Elite launch campaign. Just like 2010, Rodgers led us to the Super Bowl. This year starts with the Bears, then the Seahawks, then the Eagles, and then Super Bowl, baby. This is the year, and then he's finally gonna bring us to the catapult. We're gonna be the precipice. He's gonna be the MVP for 2026, starting tomorrow. Mm. Let's get it, boys.
Let's go,
Ricardo. Canada.
And he's gonna
north
go
north of the border.
That is Name the Game here on Kyle Bruston Ortman. If you have any more submissions, then you can fire them in at 800-990-3776. One ESPN analyst thinks the Packers will win handily. Well, we'll hear from him and tell you why the confidence across KBN Nation is there. You'll hear from us. We'll hear from you next.
You're listening to Kyle Bruston Ortman, KBN.
Let them know the dread-headed brother loves the Green Bay Packers. When you see me, Goody, let me in the box.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Ben Bruss, Kyle Wallace, Brad Nortman, a little chuckle. I love you, Chef Ed, getting angry on the Carbless Talking text line. We are morons. We know that. YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee, at ESPN Madison. I love that the phone lines keep going because whether you want to name the game or not, it's open for you to talk your bleep. If you want to talk some stuff, go ahead. Just keep it PG so we don't have to dump you. 800-990-3776 is where you can do that. Now, I think it's been interesting the way the Bears-Packers sort of rivalry has continued to evolve from the Matt LaFleur record against the Bears to the split this year, them winning the division, where it almost feels like the Packers aren't feared. Now, we're going to go into our reasons as to why that might be some benefit right now for the team, especially from a player perspective, Brad. But Dan Orlovsky of ESPN called it a little differently than many are talking about it, right? We see a tight game. The Monte Carlo 200,000 simulations
nerd man
says that it's going to be a very tight game in the majority of those sims. So we're going to hear from Dan Orlovsky.
No, I do not. I think the Packers win. I think the Packers win handily.
Handily.
I'll ask you, because it's a study of yours. Give me one thing Chicago does well defensively outside
turn
of
the football over.
Outside of get the ball
and
over.
And it doesn't matter. You can't take it away from them. They take the football over.
Unintended.
I think teams give it to them at times. But they don't have anything else. There's nothing else that this defense is good at. It's eventually that catches up to you. Like, there's teams that we are watching going into the playoffs. That Jacksonville takes the ball away, too, but they play good defense, yeah, a good, solid defense. Chicago doesn't have that.
Jacksonville can rush, though. It's a difference.
And eventually it catches up to you. And eventually you play a team that there's, like, Matt LaFleur, Jordan Love, Josh Jacobs. Don't give the ball to this team. Chicago, in games when they don't get multiple takeaways, mm-hmm, not just one, multiples, 2-6 this year.
That was Dan Orlovsky on NFL. Which one? I mean, that's the Daily Show. That was First Take with Ryan Clark and everybody. You never know. It's a rotating cast of characters. But the point is, he thinks handily. So I turn it to you guys. Like, whoever has the most confidence, go first. And tell me why you're confident.
Yeah, I mean,
I was going to say, if you didn't jump in, I was going to be mad.
Yeah, for me, overall, the reason why I'm confident is he kind of alluded to it. The Bears defense is trash. trash. This is absolutely trash as an overall unit. I understand the takeaways, which you cannot take that away from them, but the takeaways is something that they have. But at the end of the day, their unit as a whole is 29th in total defense. They're 22nd in pass. They're bad stopping the run as well. The end of the day, the Green Bay Packers offense is that dang good, and the Bears defense is that trash. And I saw exactly what the 49ers were able to do. Now, the Packers and 49ers offense is not exactly the same whatsoever, but they have similar concepts, and we saw what that team was able to do. If I am Matt LaFleur, I am watching that film, and I'm saying I'm taking some of those concepts that I saw there, and I'm going to implement those in an offense that was missing Trent Williams at left tackle and missing George Kittle at tight end.
Maybe that's what he was thinking about on the sideline with his hand on his head in the Minnesota game. He wasn't actually paying attention. He was just thinking about, what was that play I saw from San Francisco against the Bears?
I would hope so. We saw that all a couple weeks ago, and I do believe the Packers have the ability to replicate that in this game. But in addition to that, the Green Bay Packers as a team have controlled the majority of this series. The Green Bay Packers, to be honest, if you're talking about time-wise, the Bears scored literally in sudden death at the end of the game, so technically they didn't lead for any time in this series. The Packers have controlled and dominated this series all throughout. We get our quarterback back. We get our running back healthy again. And remember in that first game against the Chicago Bears, when Josh Jacobs wasn't even fully healthy, he had a big run. He stuck his foot in the ground, he lowered his shoulders, and he picked up a first down. We're going to get a more healthy Josh Jacobs who's going to be able to move the chains for the Green Bay Packers. So overall, when I look at this game, I believe our offense will be the difference in this game because the Bears' defense is trash, and I do not believe they will be able to slow down the Packers. We have seen the formula the Packers had first game in Lambeau Field where they could not stop the Packers' offense. They could not stop Jordan Love. He was dazzling. He was amazing. He played spectacular, and there was nothing that they could do to stop him. I believe we will see that type of offense versus what we saw the last time where Malik Willis was just being a game manager, moving the ball with his legs and just moving the chains where they couldn't finish in the red zone. That is why I believe that the Green Bay Packers will win, simply because of the fact that this offense is that dang good and is much better than what we saw the last couple weeks with a healthy Love and also with a healthy Josh Jacobs and also a trash defense that the Bears do have.
That being said, Kyle's confident. If you're confident, let us know. 800-990-3776 in the Carbless Talk and Text Line. And I guess if you're not, you can let us know too, because we're here to talk through everything before we get to tomorrow. And Alex Stroff gets you ready to go on Green Bay Game Day. 800-990-3776.
I'm confident as well. I mean, these are the kind of things where it's important not to overthink it, right? Because we ran the 200,000 Monte Carlos. 200,000 simulations, but the
200,000 simulations.
That's a lot of simulations. And that is all taking evidence and stats from a regular season from both the Bears and the Packers. And looking specifically at the Bears, we know who they are. They are not a good defense. Unless they are taking the ball over, they are a completely ineffective defense. And, I mean, Dan said it himself, where they don't get multiple takeaways, they're 2-6. And as I scroll through their schedule, they played a litany of trash quarterbacks. I mean, a litany of trash quarterbacks.
Name some of these trash quarterbacks.
Well, I have to go game by game, but Geno Smith.
Trash.
Spencer Rattler.
Spencer Rattler was the quarterback of the Saints at the time.
Not Chuck or
JJ McCarthy twice.
Trash.
Let's see who else. Shedeur Sanders.
I like him, but
he's trash. I believe it was they faced Huntley. I don't think they faced Lamar when they played Baltimore.
Trash.
I think Flacco for the Bengals. So they, I mean, over and over that these guys took the ball away. Oh, and Marcus Mariota for the Commanders.
Who?
Marcus Mariota for the Commanders. So you look at it, they played very few quality quarterbacks. And the quarterbacks they did face that were quality, you're talking about Jared Goff twice. You're talking
Jordan Love for a full game. Loss.
They did play Jaden Daniels.
Trash.
Well, he was trash this year.
Trash.
Dak Prescott, they got put up points against and they got ran all over when they played actually decent quarterbacks. That includes Jordan Love. He was in control most of that first game. And even in the second game before he was out, he was starting to put it together. Malik Willis was effective against the Bears. So it's all to say you do not overthink this. You protect the ball. You make it so that you make smart plays. You still are aggressive, but if you do not give the ball away, as Dan Orlovsky said, they're not taking the ball away. It's not like they're getting so much pressure that quarterbacks are making horrible decisions. The teams are giving them the ball away. 6 comeback victories, a litany of one-score games. This team has fraud written all over it with a capital F, And a fraudulent number
fraud
two seed.
Written all over fraud it with a capital F.
Written all over it. And I expect the Green Bay Packers to expose that fraud on Saturday night.
They're fraudulent and trash, aren't they, Brad?
Fraudulent and trash,
I
Kyle.
Like that. He said it with his chest.
Can you say fraudulent and trash in your 200,000 simulation voice? Strophe?
Fraudulent and trash!
I don't know if that was any good. 200,000 fraudulent and trash!
We'll get to your 200,000 simulations 200, later.
200,000 simulations!
I think what is interesting is in that second game, the Packers outrushed the Chicago Bears.
Emmanuel Wilson was the leading rusher in that game, and that is our backup running back.
So what I want to do here is take a look at the pulse of how people believe the Packers will show up. Because although we can point to one game, we can also point to another game. And I know that Tanner Mordecai.
Oh,
gosh,
wow.
I've been Badger portaling recently. Monungai and Swift are not Derrick Henry, but it's a top two rushing attack in the NFL. We also saw the Ravens. So are you thinking when this game is out and we're watching the defense, are they going to be more like the Ravens run D, or are they going to be like the Bears without Micah run D? Because we have seen both. We saw the Bears game with Micah and without Micah. So I would probably say we look at the second game and we look at the Ravens game. Which defensive unit are we going to see against the run? 800-990-3776.
Trash!
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 Next.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman.
Dick Van Dyke, real quick on the cha-cha slide ACL, says she was carried out by all five of us. Five people?
That's a big girl. That's a big girl who did cha-cha.
Stop it, Kyle.
What you mean? Five of them had to carry us. Big girl. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Kevin Moret here for Mantel.
Nap.
Quick update for you as Rob Domofsky joined us yesterday. There were six players listed as questionable. Zach Tom, Javon Bullard, Malik Willis, Warren Brinson, Nick Neiman, and Dontavian Wicks. Dontavian Wicks ruled out, so that means no Melton, no Wicks. Matthew Golden is fourth on that list behind Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, and Jaden Reed. So,
an opportunity.
Yeah, no Bo Melton.
Some opportunities, for sure. Will it be to the level we all thought? I think we're past that point of trying to figure out why or why not, but we're going to see what happens together. Now, Dan Orlovsky, who we just heard from, talked about the Bears defense. And I think the way I've been approaching this game is Dan got to the same point we've all been making as the Packers offense against that Bears defense. I think you feel confident about, and part of the conversation of Jordan Love being out and being a rhythm quarterback is for a team that's 29th in total defense, bad against the pass. It's a good team to be able to get some confidence early and complete some throws and get rolling. But I want to turn the attention to the Packers defense because they have lacked a pass rush in meaningful games without Micah.
Yeah.
Their run defense has been pretty putrid since Carolina. Overall, they're in the bottom third of the league since Rico Dowdle had that game. Tyrone Tracy, like we could go through all of them. So what run defense do we expect? Because it's like an impossible question because we could look at the data points and you could say in the first matchup against the Bears, there were zero explosive runs, runs over 10 yards or more.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second game, the Packers outran the Bears. But then week 17 was like a what in the hell is going on? I don't care if it's Derrick Henry or Walter Payton in his prime. Unacceptable with something on the line where you could have won that game and then played Minnesota to be playing at home at Lambeau Field. So who the hell do you expect from this defense to show up and actually make an impact to stop the two-headed monster that the Bears do a good job with?
I've been thinking about this for a while now, and that memory of Derrick Henry running the football so visceral, so top of mind, it's still pretty recent, right? The more I think about it, the more I think about the fact that I need to widen my lens a little bit. It's easy to get fixated on that Week 17 matchup, but you got to widen the lens a little bit. So what do? I go to what the sample size is of the rest of the year. Now, I tried to look at what were the good running backs, good to great running backs that the Packers faced throughout the year. And I put them in one of two categories, either just yes or no. Did they contain them or did they not contain them? I have Gibbs and Montgomery two times contained. Ooh,
yeah, yeah.
That's a
yes. Yeah, very much so.
Saquon Barkley contained, yeah. Yes. Two times Menungai and Swift contained. The two times I feel like they face quality running backs that they want to establish the running game, Rico Dowdle for the Carolina Panthers and Derrick Henry for the Baltimore Ravens. So I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times where they said, you know what, let's man up and stop the run, and they did that, to two times where they didn't. So even though the most recent one in our memory is Baltimore, five times they did
there's
it.
There's a variable in there.
No, Micah Parsons is what you're thinking about. Micah Parsons is good against the run. They're not. He's better than people give him credit for, at least against the pass. But he's not the reason why they decided we're going to man up and stop the run. It's a full effort. It's a full team effort to be able to stop the run like that. And I think that the other thing that I've noticed, too, those games against the Lions, those games against the Bears, the game against Philly, though, what do those games have in common? Marquee primetime matchups. The one against Rico Dowdle and the Carolina Panthers, it was a sleepy noon game. You talk about...
that play a difference in the psyche of guys?
I think it does. It's easier to get up for big games than it is for the ones that you just show up at noon on a random day in November. Now, the one thing you could say is Baltimore. How do you explain Baltimore? How do you explain Baltimore? Because that's Saturday night. That's prime time. That's the weekend after Christmas. To me, this is on Jeff Hafley and this is on Matt LaFleur.
Yeah.
The guys felt like they were resigned to the wild card. That's just what I felt like. They rested all the guys next week. It felt like the team was resigned to the wild card that we were going to accept. We're not going to win the NFC North, so let's not do anything crazy here to get hurt or put our best effort forward. And maybe they didn't say that, but sort of deep down subconsciously, it's easy to feel that way, especially when the freight train that is Derrick Henry is running your direction.
Choo-choo.
So to me, every time this team has been in a big moment, marquee matchup, where it really matters, they stepped up and delivered, so I expect them to do that on Saturday night.
I'm right there with you, Brad. I think the defense that you will see on Saturday night will be closer to the team that we saw against the Chicago Bears in not one, but two games. In those games against the Chicago Bears, they allowed 22 points and they allowed 21 points. I think that's a solid defense. In those games against the Chicago Bears, they allowed a total whopping 3 points in the first half total in both those two games combined. If you look at this,
look at the second half struggles of the defense.
Second half struggle of the defense again. The second game, in the first game,
I'm talking about overall. No, Cincinnati coming back, obviously. The Broncos, you lost Micah, but there has been some moments in the second half where you're like, huh.
There has been some moments.
We talked about how Sean Payton, kind of smelled blood in the water with their hands on their hips.
Yeah, altitude to get you. But at the end of the day, I do think it's clear that Jeff Hafley, he knows exactly how to slow down the offensive scheme and slow down this Bears offense that is led by Ben Johnson. I feel like this team has found success multiple times. And even in game two, they did a much better job of containing Caleb Williams and not letting him roll out of the pocket. They did much better with that. So when I think about this and you compound that with Brad, tell me this. 2 weeks off for a player, what will that do in the season for him?
You feel good.
You feel good.
You feel good.
Your body feels fresh.
You know what we haven't mentioned, and I've been meaning to ask Brad about it?
Short week.
Their bye was so early this year.
Who, the Bears?
The Packers?
The Packers.
Yeah, it was really early. Really early.
We haven't talked about how the rest could come into play, because if you have an early bye, you're just grinding.
You're grinding. You never get a rest. You never get a reprieve. Even Josh Jacobs said this is the best he's felt in 8 weeks. Think about that. That's 2 months where you're fighting off injury. Every day you roll out of bed, you get into practice, and you feel like crap. You feel that pain. You finally feel good. Everything's a little bit easier. Taking and delivering hits is a little bit better. Here's the one other thing I forgot to add with my argument as well. That Baltimore Ravens game. You remember that graphic that they put up, maybe midway through the second quarter? The Ravens had already ran 26 plays, and the Packers had run 6 plays. It was 150 yards to 20 yards. It was an early, lopsided time of possession, game control, and what that means is the defense is never coming off the field. So, of course, by the time you get to the second half, you've already felt all the hits and all of that. So, not only this is a defensive mandate, it's an offensive mandate. I love scoring quick, but you got to be able to control the ball, give your defense a break. If you go out there and you take on a long drive, and you deliver hits, take hits, deliver hits, take hits, and you have a two-minute breather, and you're back out there, it's hard to ask your team to do over and over. But if you get a 15-minute break in real time, you can man up and feel like, okay, I'm ready to go back out there again.
And I think folks need to understand that when the Bears ended up scoring that 11-play drive, they went 43 yards, and they ended up kicking a field goal, the Green Bay Packers defense grinded on that drive. That was a drive that the Packers were up 16-9, and then they got the onside kick, and we all know what happened after that. But the Green Bay Packers grinded. Even after the 15-yard penalty that was a gut punch on 3rd and 20, I believe. On 3rd and 20, where we got that face mask penalty, the defense had to recalibrate and still were able to force the Bears to kick a field goal. I'm telling y'all, the defense has been extremely impressive, and now they're going to be refreshed, and I know that's going to do a body good, so I believe the defense we will see on Saturday will be the same defense we saw in the first two games against the Bears. This game will come down to whether or not Jeff Hafley can get his boys up and ready to go to be stout on Saturday. If the defense shows up, Dan Orlowski is right. It's going to be a rout.
Yeah, and showing up isn't going to be what we expected the defense to be in the start of the year, in the middle of the year, but it also is the same conversation we had of Micah Parsons wasn't on this team until very late in the offseason, right before the season. And obviously, when you get an all-pro, you're going to switch some things schematically to make sure he can thrive. But he did build out a team without Micah Parsons and a strategy. So you can also look back. There are some synergies. Week 17, week 18 were disasters last year. But against the eventual Super Bowl champs, Packers played a really good defensive game.
They did.
So that gives me a little bit of confidence from no matter what you're feeling from week 17, I don't care what you take from 18, it's a new game. And you got to trust the coordinator that's been interviewed by head coaches last year and who might be a guy that wants to approach an opportunity this year. Brad, I know what you're going to be doing while you're watching the game.
Oh, there's only one thing that I'm doing, and that's grabbing an ice-cold Carbless. And for me, I'm going to be able to be sitting at the Nortman Estate, going to my fridge, opening it up, and have an array of flavors that are all absolutely delicious. Right now, I'm enjoying those margarita flavors. Might be a little chilly outside when I take a sip of that margarita. It's honestly, it's the OG, right? It's the one that I had first. I remember it so distinctly. Back in April of 2022, I crack open that margarita, and I thought to myself, well, this Carbless is certainly something that's about to be a part of my life. Little did I know how much it would be. So every time I take a sip of that margarita, it is that flavor that I can able to enjoy. Not only enjoy, but trust. No guilt, because there's no sugar, no carbs, no gluten. Just 100 calories and perfect carbonation. I don't just throw around the word perfect, but it's perfect. It's just enough to be able to, you know, quench that thirst and enjoy that sipping flavor, but not so much that's going to upset your stomach like so many other options out there. There is a flavor for everyone. To me, I love jumping around in different flavors. I'm loving the margaritas right now, but all the fruit flavors in classic cocktails, it is incredible to enjoy. It makes every game, whether I'm watching, enjoying with friends, or just hanging out at home, elevates it that much more. Carbless, your go-to drink for 2026. Be able to enjoy it and discover why less is more with a Carbless.
On the Carbless Talk and Text, I'm Cameron chimes in. I think I could sum this one up pretty quick. I want to know what your approach is on how to handle the coin toss. If you win, do you take the ball or defer? You defer. You put Caleb Williams out there in his first playoff start with the ball, and then you take advantage of his lack of experience, score some points, and get up, because we know that that is the best way for this team to probably, from a game flow standpoint, so you can control the ball a little bit more, keep your defense off the field, but it all depends on if you get that stop. But the only thing that worries me with that is the Packers haven't taken advantage of that ball to start the second half.
And that's what I think.
Because we all looked at when they scored over the top of the defense to Bo Melton, and we're like, all right, and they get the ball back. Three and out, Bears long drive, then Packers quick score, defense back out there. But I still think you put the ball in the hands of the Bears and give yourself the second half chance to do whatever it is, because if you get that stop and you get up, you get the ball at half, I like that best. That's my thoughts for that, Cameron. We'll get to you, KBN Nation, on the Carbless Talk and Text line. We'll continue on as Packers-Bears is right around the corner. It's Kyle Bruston-Nortman across ESPN Wisconsin. 200,000 simulations.
You're listening to Kyle Bruston-Nortman, KBN.
Kayla Williams sucks.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Kyle Bruston-Nortman with you across ESPN Wisconsin, KBN Nation. Get involved at 800-990-3776. That's our Carbless Talking text line.
Duval.
Of course, YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Didn't have Liam Cohen to start the segment in
Duval.
The books.
Setting the tone, baby.
I got to be honest. Here's what happened. Intrusive thought happened. So I looked at Brad. I saw he was wearing his Jaguar shirt, and it just made me think of
Duval.
Sure does.
I just clicked it. I'm sorry to throw you off your flow.
Liam Cohen's a good coach.
Sure is.
He built a really good staff. Not
setting that
lie.
Tone from right when he said
Duval.
Brad, why don't you tell me why you feel like Brian Gutekunst gained some validation and probably has a better opportunity to get an extension. You know, as we get to the end of the season here, and Ed Policy, we've talked about it a million times, doesn't like lame ducks.
Well. When you have job openings around the NFL, and you are early in that, you know, interview process, like the Miami Dolphins are right now looking for a new GM, they had the pick of the litter when it came to anyone that they could hire. Nobody else has been able to hire a GM first. But what do you know? The Packers Vice President of Player Personnel, John Eric Sullivan, great three-name, John Eric Sullivan, is hired as the new Miami Dolphins GM. Now, VP of Player Personnel, what exactly does he do? He's basically in charge of all the scouts, basically, you know, Goody's right-hand man when it comes to evaluating players, selecting them, and moving them on. Classic next step for a VP of Player Personnel, because you basically play the role of the GM alongside the GM as you build a team. So when the Miami Dolphins could have picked anybody in the NFL, because a lot of other good teams out there, right? There's New England, there's San Francisco, there's a bunch of hot names out there. They go with John Eric Sullivan for the Green Bay Packers. So what does
John
that
Eric
mean?
Sullivan.
John Eric Sullivan. John Eric Sullivan, J-E-S, as the people in the organization call him. What that tells me is Goody is validated. Goody is validated in his role of the Green Bay Packers GM, how he views it around the league, and what people think of this Green Bay Packer personnel. If you thought the team stunk, if you thought Goody was a bad GM, if you thought their players were pretty poorly, you could look right at John Eric Sullivan as well and say, you didn't do your job either. But the fact that the Miami Dolphins said, of all the candidates out there, we're going to go with the Packers vice president.
What does that say about the Dolphins? Do you think in the interview process they asked him about the first round picks?
He probably said, that's Goody. You know, Goody has the first round picks.
Everyone loves a guy that deflects.
Yeah, I was in charge of
throws people under the bus.
2 through 7s.
You should be our GM.
So what it tells me is Goody is well respected around the league. The players on this team are well-respected around the league. The system by which they evaluate players is well-respected around the league. And the Dolphins had enough confidence in that to stake their organization on this hire. Because you could say what you want about head coaches and whatnot, but GMs are the ones that are picking the groceries, they're picking the players, and that has probably a bigger influence on the team than even the head coach.
Are you the general manager of your household? Do you pick the groceries?
It's collaborative. And remember, we have our groceries delivered. So, you know, we together on an app.
Who does the cooking in your house?
I would say that's also collaborative. Wow. I'd say Lexi 60-40.
Again, now we're hearing more about how perfect the marriage is, the grocery shopping collaboration.
There's nothing like communicating
before the show.
Whoa. Hey, you, back off, man. The world needs more love, and they have a beautiful love. And you're going to respect the beautiful love.
There's nothing like grocery shopping shoulder to shoulder on the couch, on your phone, going through the app and selecting that. I do love Lexi.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
You guys are disgusting. It makes me want to throw up.
Crazy that you guys are really shopping for food.
It's like a fairy
online.
Tale.
It really is.
I'm never getting married because of you.
Don't say that. Brad, I love you.
Feels like a reach.
Yeah, you're so far off, dude. The Green Bay Packers are, well, first and foremost, Goody didn't hire John Eric Sullivan. John Eric Sullivan been around since 03. So this ain't got nothing to do with Goody. He's part of an infrastructure of the Green Bay Packers organization that you mentioned that has just done a great job of producing a lot of folks that all started with Ron Wolf when he was the general manager, president, whatever he was of the Green Bay, well, not president, but running the Green Bay Packers front office. This is just what it is. When you're an organization like the Dolphins and you're looking for consistency, there are very few organizations like the Packers over the last 30 years that have been a model of consistency. That's why people pluck
folks from the Packers. Why? It's because they understand that they came up the right way. Now, just because you don't always win championships doesn't mean you can't build teams. So you've seen the Packers sprinkled in Kansas City. You see them sprinkled in New England. You see them sprinkled in Seattle. You saw them sprinkled before in the Raiders when they were back in Oakland. The Green Bay Packers have a tree of a lot of success from executives going on to do great things. So this is why they hired them. They hired them because the Packers have been winning. The Packers do a good job at drafting. They haven't been excellent, but they've done a good job at evaluating and drafting, and at the end of the day, they are a great overall organization. And so, yes, I wouldn't give any credit to Goody. I would give credit to the fact that the Green Bay Packers over the last 30 years have been a model franchise.
I'm kind of closer to Kyle, but I do want to keep the fan voice coming here on the Carbless Talking Text Line, as we are getting really close. So we're going to hear from all of you at 800-990-3776. We'll go out to California. Javier! Bears fan.
Oh,
they keep what's up, on Javier? Coming.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
What up, Javier? Keep it clean.
What's up, guys? All right, man. Well, I'll keep it simple. Kyler Gordon's coming back, so we'll cover the middle. Ben Johnson's not going to let that stuff happen like the second game where he could have just ran it in for a quick touchdown. We'll put the lead on, and Love is going to choke like he does in the playoffs. He's going to throw an interception. And Kyle, man, do some push-ups, bro. What's up? Like,
send me your picture. And just so you know, Javier, don't let me get a picture of your girl, because if I wasn't taken, I bet you she'd be in my DMs.
Dang.
Oh, wow.
Kyle.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Fighting fire with fire.
And wow. Kyle, man, yeah, listen, send me your picture. And also, send me what your girl look like, and I'll tell you right now whether or not she'd be in my DMs.
I was not prepared for that.
What you talking about? She'll be grabbing both left and right side of me. What you talking about?
Kyle thinks he's the belle of the ball.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm just being honest. Go ahead, Javier. You can send a picture to 800-990-3776.
I have to see it then. I'm going to get his text.
Let me see how.
Watch, Javier is yoked.
Javier, trust me. And if he is yoked, then I will retract my statement. I would say on second thought.
I hope he
maybe I would take your chick.
Swole. Actually, I think he just got out of his car to go, check out the Princeton Club. Maybe that they're having out there, yeah. Working out. Maybe.
Intimidate everyone at the Princeton Club.
No, but that's funny. A lot of people have been talking about my chest. And listen,
He struck a nerve.
Well,
it was a lash out.
Yeah, we were not.
I've never seen Kyle like that.
Yeah,
his girl.
Kaplan came on the show and called Kyle a wuss, and he was like, "Yeah, you're right." but Javier calls in and says, "Do some push-ups." He's like, "Hey, man, I'm gonna steal your girl."
Well, this is my whole thing. You got all these fugly, ugly people over here on social media talking about my handsome ass, and I'm like, "Listen, bro, if your chick saw me, I guarantee you she would love me." Like, bro, come on now.
I started the show by saying talk your stuff.
I can talk my talk. I know, I understand. I'm a solid 7, and when your boy dress up, I'm a solid 8.5, 9. Like, I understand that. And Javier might be a 4 or 5. His girl might be a 5, but guess what? 5's love's 8.5.
Hey, keep the girl out of it.
I'm just saying.
It's between you and Javier.
Yeah, this is you and Javier.
He didn't bring baby girl into this.
Oh, I love baby girl. She a 10.
There we go. Kyle's feeling himself.
Wow.
I don't know what just happened, but we're definitely going to be back in
800-990-3776, Javier. Come on now. Slide in the DMs. Let's see what you look like.
Can't wait for that text. Back in 2 minutes with Nerd Man.